the Steelers are not a playoff team. The Penguins aren't playing like one. But hey, Andrew McCutchen is back in Pittsburgh, so all is right with the world. I'm Tim Benz, along with Mark Madden. This is a Madden Monday podcast. Listen to Mark Monday through Friday on the X. You can check him out at Trib Live during the course of the week as well. Mark will be on with me, Madden Benz Unfiltered, for our live stream on the Trib Live Facebook page. And one of the things we'll be talking about is the return of Andrew McCutchen to the Pittsburgh Pirates. And Mark, I thought, had a really good column as it relates to Kutch's return. The Bucks need to capitalize and capitalize now. Make him change jersey numbers so they can sell some merch. I thought that was a good call by you, Mark. What number should he wear?
Yeah, 69 is always popular because people have the mentality of a junior high kid. And, you know, people read that column as if I were kidding. I mean, it was written in the humorous vein, but they should really change the number. They brought him back, you know, to sell tickets, to sell merch, to have a, for a change, a bit of a feel-good vibe about the Pirates. So why not go all the way and have him change numbers? Although where they got kind of screwed is his number 22 has been informally retired ever since he left in 2017. Nobody's worn it since then. It would be actually easier to do if that number was occupied. Because then you could say, oh, you know, I don't want to rip the number from somebody who's had it, even though that would be a far lesser player, given who the Pirates have had since McCutchen left. I mean, anybody, everybody, far lesser than McCutchen, certainly. You know, it just, it was kind of a truth in packaging column. Like I said, it was tongue-in-cheek, but I was serious because if you're going to do it all the way.
I think you should wear number 43. That's the number of years it's been since they last won the World Series, and probably ever will.
Not bad. That's all the inspiration I needed. Number 43 sounds about right.
Well, Mark, I think if you gauge the reaction from the Pirate fan populace to this, I've had trouble describing it, but it's one of these things where I feel like no one can complain about the Pirates trying to pull the wool over no one's eyes if they're not going in blind. Like, I even feel like Pirates fans are looking at this as nothing more than a PR move, but they're willing to be at the opposite end of the PR because they're just so desperate for somebody to root for and cheer for at the games.
Oh, Tim, I think it really is a feel-good move. I think it was a good thing for them to do. I mean, the fans really like it. It really has, you know, got good feeling about it. So I'm not making fun of it at all. Maybe I am making fun of it, but that doesn't mean I don't think it's good. I think it's a tremendous idea. Now, how good of a player is McCutchen still? Well, he had 17 home runs last year. You know, that's not Ruthian, but it would have ranked third on the team. I see him as an everyday player, although I think to get the maximum PR, and again, this could have been another sidebar to my call, get the maximum PR to him, I think he needs to play the field, don't you? To run out there, to interact with the fans, to get that pop at the beginning of every game when the Pirates take the field at PNC.
Yeah, especially since he's playing in right field now. Go out there and muck it up with the people that are on the Clemente wall. You know, you can have some fun with that. At least I would think that he's going to play right field if he's going to play anywhere. I don't think he'd play the other two positions right now, and I'm sure he'll DH. And
maybe, you know, center field as soon as Reynolds gets traded, Tim, and that's a part of this too.
They brought
McCutchen in to detract from the imminent trading of Reynolds. I'm not saying imminent, not today or tomorrow, but I feel certain it will happen before the All-Star break.
From a baseball standpoint, it's only $5 million, which even by their standards isn't a ton, and I don't know what else they would have done with it that would have been equivalent to this. It's not like they were going to go out and get another 17-home-run guy, at least not one that's going to, as you pointed out, I think, effectively play a PR role. So why not give it to Kutch? And, you know, if he's going to play not every day, you could play him 82 games at home and rest him here and there on the road. That might make the most sense.
Well, let me ask you a question, Tim. Are you surprised he did it?
No.
I was a little bit surprised that he didn't get another similar offer from a team that had a much better chance to win, because he still doesn't have a World Series ring. And I also wonder if they're going to flip him at the deadline, trade him then, which would be a feel bad move. It would be just another betrayal of the hearts of Pirate fans. But I can't rule that out. Can you?
No, I can't. I wouldn't think that they would do it. And I don't know if there's been some sort of back deal that's been arranged with McCutchen in that regard. But to answer your first question, Mark, I think maybe why he did it is that okay, for the sake of argument, the Pirates are giving him $5 million. Maybe he doesn't get 6 or 7 from a different team that might have a slightly better chance. And even if he does, well, at least he's playing where his wife's from, where his family has been raised, where his real home still is. And that's the difference to him for, let's face it as well, being adored for 82 games a year and having what might amount to a very warm send-off for his baseball career if this is his last season.
All of that, 100% true. And if he had gone to a contender, I don't think that contender could have guaranteed him a starting job. Not game in and game out. Whereas I think with the Pirates, they can and probably did guarantee him.
I also don't think that that contender would have guaranteed that he be on the team all the way through October. And if they do get to October, they couldn't guarantee that he'd be active on the postseason roster as well.
Yeah, I mean, don't you think he's good enough to be like a fourth outfielder for just about any team, or a fifth outfielder, or a, you know, DH? I looked at some contenders just for the heck of it, their rosters after this deal was made, and you know, I think he would have fit in with just about any of them, but to a much lesser role.
And if the power numbers are still there, that offsets the strikeout rate that's now up to 21%. The batting average is down to .237. So, yeah, and you know, maybe it's a little bit more of a platoon role. Like, if he still wants 450 to 500 at bats, Mark, I think he can get them here. I don't know if he gets that anywhere else at this point.
Well, Tim, just thinking out loud here, maybe he's more likely to get a chance to play in the playoffs if he plays in Pittsburgh till the trade deadline and, you know, hits like 20 home runs.
That's
true.
So that
gains a little pop, and he does some things, you know, upgrades, you know, what he's been doing just a little bit even. You know, and then maybe, you know, the trade puts him in somebody's lineup, you know, based on that team having had somebody injured. Maybe this is actually a better path for him.
Mark Madden with us. Mark, what about the Penguins? Are they going to make the playoffs or not? What do you think?
50-50. What do you think?
I'm right there with you. I still am inclined to be of the mindset that I won't believe they don't make it until they don't. But they're trying to convince me. And, you know, this is one of these little stretches right now where they played a hot Jets team, a good Carolina team, where under normal circumstances, if they didn't have a 6-game losing streak and a 7-game losing streak, I wouldn't be so put off by it. But you know, they've lost opportunities to give themselves a buffer, and that concerns me with the long season lying ahead for such a veteran team.
Well, yeah, Tim, they have 21 wins and 21 losses. People don't like to think that because, you know, they're to the layman, they're, you know, X amount of games over 500. But those OTLs, Tim, what's the L stand for?
It's still a loss. I agree with you, and I think they need to start looking at it that way themselves inside the locker room.
And by the way, they're so bad in shootouts and in overtime that they'll look back at that with – I don't have the exact record in front of me, but they'll look back at that with horror if they do miss the postseason. But I just don't think 35-year-old hockey players get a burst of energy in February and come from behind, you know, to close the gap to get in a playoff spot if they're not, you know, already in it. I think with a team this age, you have to get ahead and stay ahead and hang on, don't you?
That's been my rallying point ever since the season started. We were talking about that, Mark, when they got off to...
It's just age, Tim, but they don't see themselves as old. They don't see themselves as they really are. I think a really intriguing playoff matchup in the first round would be if the Penguins got the number 2 wild card. They would flip over and play the Bruins in the first round, right?
When you say the number 2 wild card, you mean the 8th seed overall, that's right?
Yes, would play the Bruins.
Right.
And like, I think that the Bruins are, you know, I don't have those figures right in front of me, but they're roughly, you know, the same age as the Penguins. They have, you know, Bergeron, Marchand. They have a bunch of older guys. Pasternak's young, and he's unbelievable. I mean, what a player he is. But it would be the old team that realizes it's old and admits it against the old team that just won't accept that.
And they do have some good players that are young enough. You know, there are guys like you said, Pasternak, DeBrusk, Coyle, McAvoy, guys like that that have lots of hockey.
Yeah, but the Penguins have Guentzel. You know, I mean, like,
well, that's true.
The Penguins have some guys that, you know, kind of fit that description too.
What do you think of their blue line right now? And what would you think of it if Letang came back even?
I think it's much better if Letang comes back, you know, just because despite his flaws, you know, the things he does cannot be replaced. The minutes cannot be replaced. So I think if they get Letang and Petry back and Petry plays a little better, I still think it's a pretty good defense corps. What's killing him right now is, and I don't know if he's going to play Monday night, but Pettersson being ill. I mean, my God, it never rains but it pours. You're missing, you know, count it down with me, Tim. Letang, Petry, Pettersson. Who else is out right now? Is that it? I mean, if that's it, that's...
It's felt like more, though, because it's come in waves. And every time they figure out...
Well, yeah, Dumoulin, POJ.
Riedel.
Riedel can play. Friedman can play. Ty Smith's played on the offside, and I think done pretty well. I think he'll merit staying here for good, except that can't happen because of the cap. You know, the fact that the Penguins are so tight against it. But I've been saying, you know, Hextall got the Penguins into the cap mess. He can't constantly use that as an excuse. It's the GM's job to get them out of the cap mess.
Because of the cap mess, can they do anything before the deadline, like a trade, to spark them? Or are they kind of screwed in that context, too?
They could make a hockey trade.
They would have to.
You know, kind of even for cap. Or, I mean, you could trade, like, your first-round pick for, like, a good player, and then they have to take Dumoulin as part of the deal, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's doable. I just, you know how everybody says Hextall's so patient, Tim? I don't think he's patient. I think he's lazy. I think he wants this job to have as little stress and work and discussion with other people as possible. And I think he's perfectly content that the cap keeps him from making deals. In fact, a small part of me wonders if that wasn't the intent of being so tight against the cap.
Mark Madden with us. Mark, let's get to football now. Steelers Twitter abuzz with what happened with the Dolphins and Bills. As if the Steelers, had they been in there, they would have finished the job that the Dolphins wouldn't. I'm not ready to go that far.
The Steelers would have clearly wanted Buffalo, Tim.
Well, if the other team's quarterback is giving it away four times, I suppose anybody could be in it, but I thought that got a little silly from some Steelers fans today.
Well, the Dolphins have a better offense than the Steelers, even with, what's his name, Scotter?
Thompson.
Yeah, even with that bum at quarterback, because they're not scared that's an interception. They take chances. They try to make plays. They try to score points. But with the playoff results, especially that, you know, narrow loss by Miami to Buffalo, it did with the Steelers fans, Tim. They now are more certain than ever that Matt Canada's the problem. They look, all these teams, look how they play offense. You have to have a good offensive coordinator to do that. Well, maybe you have a need to have a coach who's not scared of his own shadow, too. A head coach who doesn't live in his fears, because we ignore that any time Tomlin said that offense would take more risk and be more up-tempo and try to score more points. I believe, and I bet you do too, that it's Mike Tomlin who has that offense, as I said, being scared of its own shadow. And maybe Pickett's not playing as good as Skyler, what's his name, or as good as Brock Purdy, or as good as a bunch of quarterbacks in these playoffs. And maybe he's dumbed down, and maybe it's a little bit of him, too. Maybe their personnel lets them down. But Steelers fans are more certain than ever that it's all Matt Canada's fault. And I'm pretty sure he's not going nowhere. I was told that on Friday, and, you know, he's down in the facility all week on Saturday anyway, Tim. It sounds to me like he's staying. What say you?
I would think that if they were going to make a move, they would have announced it by now. I suppose they could wait through the first round of the playoffs to see which coaching staffs are let go, and if there's somebody out there they really want to replace them, they can make a decision then. But that's generally not how they operate. They
tend to decide. That's not their way. I was just going to say, that's not how they do things.
Yeah, if they don't want anybody anymore, they'll let them go and then pick somebody else. I mean, I've heard that posited, that they might be waiting for somebody in particular to be shaken loose, if that's the case.
I don't think so. And like, Tim, I'm not sure they would want him hanging around the facility if there was any doubt at this point. Admittedly, only a weekend, but still.
What if it's Cliff Kingsbury when he comes back from Thailand? You know, Mark, you know what's funny about that?
There's a lot of reasons people go to Thailand.
I saw that story. I'm not kidding you. I saw that story on Twitter at the same time as I was rewatching episode 2 of Brockmeyer when they did the flashback scene to him being in Thailand.
Remember, I think it was Pat McAfee's rookie year. The Colts made the Super Bowl. Does that sound right?
Close, yeah.
Yeah, that was when they lost to New Orleans with Drew Brees, correct?
Yeah.
The day after the game, Pat was in Morocco. I'm not sure, you know, exactly why. I never really talked it out with him, but the next thing I knew, I saw a picture of him riding a camel.
Well, there's a meme going around about some guy at a, you know, like a Thailand open market street fair doing some sort of worm crawl through what appeared to be a sandbox full of cocaine. Now, if that's Cliff Kingsbury, that's the offensive coordinator I want to see take Kenny Pickett to the next level.
That, if that's Cliff Kingsbury after dealing with Kyler Murray, I don't blame him.
Mark, what'd you make of your coaching debut at the Robert Morris Celebrity Hockey Game? How do you think your squad did?
Well, truth be told, Tim, there was no coaching to be done. I mean, look, you know, you were on the opposite bench, but I had Dave Hansen, I had Kevin Colbert, I had Jim Colony. I mean, who's not even a celebrity. That kind of took the lust off the whole event. Your team, Steve Mears scored 2 goals, and the Pirate Parrot scored a goal. So I felt embarrassed, to say the least. It was 9-9 at the end of regulation. Did you guys win the shootout? I had trouble keeping
yes,
track.
Yes, it was the Parrot had the shootout winning goal, no less.
Well, there you go. And I kept looking for drama. Like, I wanted Steve Mears to fight Josh Getzoff. I wanted Ross Gadotti to fight Andrew Stocky. There were so many things that could have been kind of worked into the fabric of the game. But overall, it was a really good time. I'll tell you what, though. I haven't stood on a bench since I coached deck hockey, and that's like 15 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time to stand, especially in ice hockey, where it's just so cold. And then we go up, you went to reception afterwards, there were no chairs. So I came home and went right to sleep, Tim. I am that old.
Mark, I thought Bob Arey had the line of the day. When Andrew Stocky was getting ready to take a penalty shot, he took a couple strides to the puck, and Bibbs right away started chirping him, saying that he deserved a delay of game call because he was skating so slowly.
Yeah, it was. There was some hilarity involved, make no mistake. Those guys from on the bench are hilarious. They were on your team.
Yeah, and they're pretty good, too.
Yeah, I think they're always a lot of fun in a situation like that. I mean, Bugsy was there, Army, TK. I mean, it really was a lot of fun. Christian Hansen, Dave's kid. Dave, like I said, was one of the coaches on my bench. So, no, it was good. I really thought we would win, Tim, because your team had Ben Sherrington, the Pirate GM. But I thought he would dump all his good players halfway through the game.
Well, now that the Pirate Parrot scored the game-winning goal, I think he's going to trade him to San Diego for an old version of the Chicken.
Well, if I'd have known the Parrot was going to play, I'd have had, like, Colby Armstrong's kid dress cruise and have him take the Parrot out. You know what would have been a great finish, though?
What's that?
What if the Parrot scores the winning goal in the shootout and he takes off his mask and it's Sid?
That would have been great, yes.
And Sid's been playing the whole time. We were talking about that afterwards. And that's the kind of thing Sid, well, I don't know if he would have dressed up as the Parrot, but Sid would like to pull some kind of, I mean, if you gave Sid a chance, he would play goal in a national hockey game.
I was just going to say that. If we had told him, hey, Sid, you could be the goalie, he would have showed up today.
Well, there's no question.
Yeah, exactly.
And probably would have played pretty well. And probably would have played better than Dustin Tokarski.
Mark Madden, you can check him out Monday through Friday on 105.9 The X. Read him at Trib Live and check us out for Madden Benz Unfiltered. It's at 9:30 on Monday morning, so check out the live stream at the Trib Live Facebook page.